The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
So really not to the 70s until early next week. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll get a little cold front or something before then. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself today?
I'm doing well. If anybody ever questioned the toughness of Garrett Nussmeier, not that I don't think anybody ever did, but not that I don't think, but I'm just saying, man, you talk about leader, you talk about tell me, for people that didn't see the game, tell them what I'm talking about, if you will.
Well, in the first half, Nussmeier took just a clean blindside hit. Will Campbell, as good as he is, you know, hey, not everybody makes every play. He completely whiffed on a block. And an Oklahoma defender just crushed Nussmeier, and he fell really hard on his right shoulder going in the ground, and he was in obvious pain and didn't finish that series, went into the locker room. I guess they just probably checked him out. Obviously, they did an evaluation of him there. He missed the next series. And then when he came back in, he was lights out, and he wanted to get back in that game. He told Coach Brian Kelly, there is no way you're keeping me out of this game. If I can throw the football, I'm playing. He talked about it at the end of the game, how much he bleeds purple and gold, and he wanted to be out there with the seniors to make sure that they got a win in their final game in Tiger Stadium. So an impressive performance about Garrett Nussmeier, and it goes beyond his toughness. You know, he's in a tough situation, Tommy, because he's following basically two Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, mm-hmm. in Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow. And I was in the stands, you know, watching the game, and in my section in particular, and I think this happens all around Tiger Stadium, and I've been to watch parties too, and I just hear how people criticize his play, and he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. Well, he's not Jaden Daniels. No. He's not Joe Burrow. LSU fans have become so spoiled as far as the quarterback position. And then when you watch A.J. Swan go out there, you are begging for Garrett Nussmeier to get back on the field. And when he came out there, he showed it. So
that's what I was hinting at, I think, Jeff, when I talked about questioned his toughness. Because I hear the same thing, and it's like, what are you talking about? Look at the touch that this guy has. Look at is he a little bit maybe careless with the football, or was earlier in the season?
Right.
Yes, but not now. I think if you could that would be fair criticism. But other than that, he's not. I don't understand what you want in a quarterback. I honestly don't.
Yeah, no. Obviously, he went through a little bit of a rough stretch, and again, Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow were far from perfect in their first year as a starter. So. If Nussmeier comes back, I mean, that will be such a – and I think he will, Tommy. I think, you know, unless it just really – when he really examines it and looks at the other quarterbacks in the draft and there's the potential – and we all know NFL teams are looking for quarterbacks, especially the bad ones, right? And so they'll draft a quarterback.
The bad teams, bad quarterbacks. There are plenty of bad
quarterbacks. Yeah, bad teams. I mean, you know, the New York Giants are going to go for the Daniel Joneses of the world, even though they're probably not ready and draft them very high in the first round. And there may be that scenario out there when he evaluates everything. But I think this is a kid that's determined to come back. And the selling point will be from Coach Brian Kelly and his staff and say, hey, look, Burrow and Daniels, yep. they had their troubles in the first year as a starter at LSU. And then look what happened in the second year. Why don't you see if you can't duplicate what they did?
Yep, and join that Heisman Club, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
I hope he does. I really do. Boy, Chris Hilton finally got his jumping right, huh?
Yeah, he did. And he got the game ball because of it. And it was, I've written about it. We've talked about it. And Coach Brian Kelly's talked about it. This offense has lacked a deep threat. Especially when Kyle Parker went down with that arm injury, too. That was pretty much the end of, he was the one guy that I think he could have provided a little bit of it. And it just took a while for Chris Hilton to get into the flow of it. And once he decided to run through the football a little bit more instead of jumping like he's been jumping for some of these 50-50 balls, he was able to make two terrific plays. And that was good to see because, Tommy, there's these whispers that he's been frustrated with how this season has gone and, probably didn't necessarily appreciate the tongue lashing that he got on national TV and everybody talking about it, tongue lashing for Brian Kelly. And
but
there's been whispers about him entering the transfer portal. Maybe this game here shows that, hey, if I stick it out here at LSU and I got Nussmeier as my quarterback, big things can happen for me next season.
I've seen that video repeatedly against Florida, and I understand it could be perceived as a tongue-lashing, and you know this better than I do, Jeff, but you could see Brian Kelly was trying to coach him up. And the only time it got ugly was when Hilton pulled away from him, and you could see Brian Kelly clearly say, "Don't blanking pull away from me." You could read his lips clearly.
Yeah,
that's what he was
saying.
So the tongue-lashing, I don't think was about – I think it was about coaching and jumping and technique, but I think it maybe turned – a little bit serious when you pull away from the head coach. You don't do that when the head coach is talking to you. That's what I think happened. At least agree?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And this has been a frustrating season for Hilton because when he suffered the injury, I mean, no one expected him to miss the next 2 months of the season. I mean, you go back to the USC game and it was like, okay, he's not going to play in this game, but he'll be ready for the home opener against Nichols. And then it was like, that was the same thing every week. And then you just kind of, you actually just forgot to, you just stopped asking Brian Kelly about him because you knew he wasn't going to play. And then when he does play, you put him in a game, Texas A&M, a high stakes game on the road. You're asking him to make plays and it just didn't work out. And then, the Florida game was obviously what we were just alluding to about the coachable moment that Brian Kelly had with him that the whole world got to see.
But it was not a tongue lashing until he pulled away from him. That's all
I'm trying to say.
All right, let me take a break. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. Because, you talk about Hilton, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe he can – you keep the band together. Maybe Chris Hilton turns in another Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr., right, with Garrett Nussmeier into controls. Who knows?
Well, that was the hope that he was going to have a breakout season this year. Maybe it happens next year now for LSU.
That's going to be part of it. And we'll talk about challenges Brian Kelly's going to face for next year. And I heard – who was it over the weekend talking about their team with under the cap? Who was that saying that? Do you remember, Jeff?
That was Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly, that's what it was, under the cap. Yes, that's exactly who it was. All right, 7:22, traffic now, WWL. All right, 7:27 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo about the LSU Tigers, and he had a Kelly had a press conference after the game, naturally, and he was talking about seeing the national championships. His optimism remains high, right?
His optimism is through the roof. I think this is going to be a press conference, Tommy, that LSU fans, I think all of us are going to remember, and we're going to also hold Brian Kelly, too, because he basically came out and promised that they would win a national championship or at least play in a national championship game. Now, whether that happens next season, the year after that, he didn't, say, hey, 2025, here we come, but he really feels good about the future of the program. He talked about, hey, we had two freshmen out there, Devon Keyes and Dominic McKinley, or actually five freshmen out there and two sophomores, is that what he said, but Devon Keyes and Dominic McKinley played very well in that game. McKinley had a couple sacks late in the game. Devon Keyes was all over the place in that contest at linebacker. You have a recruiting class that will be signed starting on Wednesday. You're going to have 37 freshmen that are going to be part of the winter conditioning program. And I think part of it, though, too, Tommy, we all know that Brian Kelly has a background in politics. He was politicking a little bit, right? Mm. You know, it was Wednesday is such a huge day for the program because it's the early national signing period. And I think he was really sending a message to those recruits who I'm sure some of them are getting calls still from other schools. And if there's any of them waffling, he was making his pitch to them saying, hey, we're close. We need you to join our program to help us get over the top.
Let me get this real quick.
We're not that far away.
Jeff, before we run out of time, the Advocate reporting to Ricky Collins, a freshman quarterback, is going to enter a transfer portal. Maybe indication that Nussmeier's staying?
Well, and I think the big part of it was A.J. Swan has been getting the times that Nussmeier has had to leave the game, it's been A.J. Swan over Ricky Collins. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, Ricky Collins has made a decision. I don't know how much of that has to go into Nussmeier. I'm sure, but right now, Ricky Collins has been on the LSU football program for 2 years, and he's a third string quarterback, and you gotta make your move. There's going to be other guys that are going to defect from that are going to get in the transfer portal. I think guys that are going to get in there that are have even a bigger role on this current team that's going to end up on that transfer portal. And again, that goes back to, I think, what Brian Kelly was talking to the media on Saturday night. I mean, you not only got the national signing day period, but you got the transfer portal is going to reopen here in the middle of December. He is sending a message that, hey, we're not that far away. And Tommy, they really are not, mm-hmm. in a way, because if they beat Florida, if they would have defeated Florida, a game that they were favored to do, they're in the SEC championship game this Saturday. Yep. That's how close they were. It's how close they were, but in a way, too, when you look at an 8-4 record, you're still saying they're still a lot of the mountain to climb here for them.
So close yet so far away. Jeff, some great observations.
Exactly.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your time. We'll take a break, come back, take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa. Right now, a minute late, time for WWL First News. All right, here we go. 7:44, 16 till 8, directly to Mark Rosa. We go, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, for Monday Morning Markets at Mark, where we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. How you doing, Mark?
Tommy, how are you? Happy Monday to you.
Sir. Happy Monday to you. Anxious to get back to work after the long Thanksgiving weekend?
Yes, sir.
And
I guess one of us was working on Friday.
Well, it would be you.
That's right.
For those wanting,
we had to do the show. Dave and me.
For those playing Morning Show Jeopardy, the answer would be, who is Mark Rosa?
that's right.
I was busy reconstructing a ramp for a shed, so I would have rather been here. Yeah.
I hear that.
Let's talk about Wall Street. What's going on?
Well, before Wall Street, for the past several mornings, wake up to 30-degree weather.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nuts?
Oh,
fantastic. I just had to get that out. We had the week before last, we had almost no economic news coming out. And then last week, we had just a plethora of data. And, you know, starting off with the Dow and S&P hit all-time highs. And we had an abbreviated week. Of course, Thursday closed, half a day Friday. But consumer confidence is coming in far better than expected. Durable goods orders, and some of these things go, you know, hand in hand. Durable goods orders came in. The previous month, they were down. It shrank. It was a negative number. And this month passed for October was up again. So, you know, from a confidence standpoint, that's the durable goods or the big ticket items, things that tend to last more than 3 years. You got appliances, you got cars, you got a lot of big ticket items that are bunched into that. So, you know, people are feeling decently about things, and it's not that the inflation has fallen. Inflation keeps rising. More on that in just a second. But I think, you know, when all of this hit, the talk in the banking circles was and this is kind of an esoteric statement, that your balance sheet has to normalize. That, you know, we were used to very low rates for so long, and then the Fed started raising rates to combat inflation, and that took a lot of people by surprise. Inflation did, higher rates did, made a mess of things, still making a mess of things to a lesser extent. But it's like when this normalizes, I remember right before the credit crisis, you know, car loans were 6 and 7%. Nobody cared. That's what the rate was. that after credit, in response to that, in response to COVID, when the rates had fallen so low, now people are saying, well, where's the 1.49% car loans that are used to get at the credit union when interest rates were low? Well, that party's over. And now, you know, a decent rate might start with a 5 or 6. And again, it's very similar to the rates that we had in the past. HELOC rates were 7% routinely, and that's what people paid because that's what the rates were. So I think we had enjoyed very low rates for so long that people were wishing that was the norm. The savers took it on the chin because we had a lot of CD, just invigorated a lot of interest in certificates of deposit when the Fed started raising rates. I think people were thinking, I'm not going to live long enough to see a 5%, you know, 2-year CD again. And of course, that's what we've had. And that continues to persist. But that was a sideline. I'll come back to inflation news in a second. But GDP, the first revision for the third quarter, up 2.8%. That's right in line with expectations and a good number for an economy our size at almost $30 trillion. Our GDP is the largest in the world. Our economy is the largest in the world financially. And for it to move at almost 3%, that's good news. Personal income came in double expected. So apparently a lot of businesses are meeting the demands of employees. They need more money. If you know the inflation has gone on for long enough, that unless you're going to lose the employee, you got to belly up to it. You got to pay more. And the previous month it was up 0.3%, and this past month, October, it was up 0.6% for the month. And that's over a 7% annualized rate, which is again good news because that's coming up consistent with rising prices. And when that goes up, personal spending is reported, and it goes up almost point for point with personal spending. People tend to spend the money that they have. So that personal spending was up 0.4% for the month. And along comes the Fed's inflation gauge, the personal consumption expenditure, for October. Now, this is the one that the Fed watches particularly closely. It's their own construct. It's their own mechanism, and they watch what this is. So last month in September was up 0.2. October was up the same 0.2. That was in line with expectations. But here is the rub, that they are pulling back, the Fed is, they're pulling back on their the projections that they're going to continue to lower rates next year. And they meet in 15 days. And a 65% chance we're going to get a 25 basis point cut. That'll be a full percentage point this year that started in August that they're cutting rates. Now, that's a far cry from the 5 percentage point increases we got when inflation was soaring. So I know a lot in the banking sector, just the economy in general would love lower rates. But again, Tommy, this has all been bleeding in that the Dow and S&P, I mean, people looking at their 401ks, looking at their holdings, and these one record after the other, the Dow eclipsed the 45,000 mark, and the S&P is over 6,000 now. And it's like this has a little bit more to go in terms of the economy is performing decently, inflation is tamed, but the year-over-year number has ratcheted up from 2.1 to 2.3. And I think that's going to be the part where the Fed is given enough ammunition to pause. If it starts creeping up, I think they're going to want to be on the front of this. Remember, they said when inflation was ramping up, oh, it's going to be transitory and this is going to go by the wayside very quickly. And of course, they were wrong. So as this ratchets up, I don't know if they'd be as eager to keep cutting rates. Again, where I started out, I think a lot of the pricing and what is going on of late is just kind of baked in, and they can sit on their hands for a while. And the January prediction is 57% on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Fed Watch tool. 57% saying no cut in January, where that was a foregone conclusion. They were going to cut in January, possibly one more time in the first quarter. I think a lot of that's off the table. And what we would really rather not happen is at some point in the first half of next year, the Fed's like, well, inflation is returning, got a new administration, They're going to handle the economy a little bit differently than if Trump's competitor was winning. And it's like, what if inflation comes back? The Fed's going to start raising rates again. You know, some have forecasted, well, don't take that off the table. 6 months ago, that was no way are they looking at raising rates. But now this conversation starting to bleed into the news.
Somebody texted in about their kids want to get in a house that they keep waiting and waiting for rates to go down.
Oh, no, no.
Inflation eating them up.
Yes.
So
yes.
What would you say to people that have children in that position, grown children, or people that are listening that are waiting to buy their first home, the outlook for that, Mark?
When I was really beating the table last August when the rates fell to 5, mm-hmm. And they were kind of preempting the Fed's reduction in rates because they were falling when it was just anticipated. So it was in the fives. I know some people at Odyssey that got a couple of five. I mean, in the not 5.0, might have been 5.5, 5.375, something like that. And then it didn't last long. And we kept saying it's like, you know, get locked that in while you can. If you're waiting for another 2 basis points to fall, I think you're going to be on the wrong side of it. Sure enough. So with all we were saying so far this morning, I think you do some shopping, and I think you can get one in the sixes. It's not gonna, I don't know if it's going to be 6.0, but go to bankrate.com, and you could they have a good structure on where the rates are across the country, and then you could start shopping locally. If you have a mortgage already, go to where the mortgage is and see if your existing financial institution could do anything for maybe a refinance. If not, you could just start calling around and looking for some rates, because I think sixes are fine, but they're approaching 7 again, because the belief is that the Fed is not going to keep lowering rates. We might get this one in December, and then I think they're going to sit on their hands for a while if inflation is ticking up. So as far as that being my advice, if you can get something with the 6, I would do that and not wait for, oh, well, it's going to fall by another quarter or something like that. I don't think that's coming.
Leads me nicely to a promo for tomorrow. We're going to talk to Arthur Sterbko about real estate, as we do every now and then, because you want to get on that equity ladder, and you can always mark the
absolutely.
You can always refinance, right? If the deal is right, you can always refinance if you can afford to get in the first place.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, sir.
And new home. Thank you, sir. We'll talk later.
And you can go to jeffersonfinancial.org, find these calculators to see what you can afford and maybe what you can't afford. They got a bunch of them there, and
absolutely.
It's absolutely free. Mark Rosa, thank you, sir. President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. We'll talk to you Friday when we help you manage your money with Mark, 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.